Good morning. Thank you. My name is Emily Robbins, and I'm the Director of Youth Ministries, and it is an honor to be worshiping with you this morning. Our church is worshiping in two different spaces this morning. 90 of our church family, along with many of our staff, are at Worship of Springs for our church family retreat. So they will be gathering in the next hour, possibly outside. And I just want to invite you to be in prayer with them as they finish out their time together and also as they travel back home to us. To each of our first-time visitors and to our regular members, welcome. We are so glad that you are here, and we want to know that you are here with us. So if you will grab one of the attendance pads that is in the row with you and fill it out, that way we know that you have joined us this morning. And if you are with us online, you can sign in online as well. And if you would grab your bulletin, I'd like to highlight a few ways that you can join our community over the next week. This next October starts on Tuesday, y'all. It's a new month. So our first Wednesday night dinner of the month is on October 2nd. Dinner is at 5:15. We ask that if you plan to eat with us, that you register by noon tomorrow, Monday. And the conversation on Wednesday will be with the author of Blessed Are the Women, Naming and Reclaiming Women's Stories of the Gospel. So come and join us on Wednesday evening. Be a part of that. And again, if you want to eat, register by tomorrow. Also, next Sunday is the Blessing of the Pets. If you've participated in that before, you know what an incredible experience that is. And if you have a pet that you want to have blessed, then we invite you to join us at 3 p.m. next Sunday on the lawn. And we ask that your pet be a pet that gets along with other animals, first off. And then also, if you're interested in coming, you can also bring your own chair to be a part of that worship experience. On October 11th, we have our next LGBTQIA gathering. And so if you are interested in that, please look at the bulletin for more information. That is off-site in the evening. And then Maggie wanted me to make sure to let you know that our trunk or treat will be on Sunday, October 27th at 3:15, and to check the bulletin for more information about that. And last, I want to let any of our college students or university students at all of our neighboring schools know that we love to have lunch with you for free. And so if you are here, you can come back later at noon and meet Molly in the narthex in the back, and you will get to join this incredible community. I believe there were over 20 people who had lunch last week. So come and get to know other college age individuals in our area. I want to invite you to breathe deep and notice. As we continue our sermon series on the book of James, let us worship God today in spirit and in truth.
Please join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Is anyone among us in trouble or distress? Are any among us happy and joyful?
Let us sing together shouts of praise.
In this time of worship, may we bring both our sorrows and joys.
For you, O God, are with us.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. God of grace, you are with us in the lowest of lows and the highest of highs, in times of despair and sickness, happiness and gladness. You are the source of our hope and joy. Forgive us for when we have wandered from your goodness toward us and each other. Give us wisdom to redirect our hearts to your love and compassion. Help us to be agents of mercy and justice in the world for the building of your kingdom on earth. And now, O God, we offer our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Of this church is the baptism of children. This morning, Amanda and Thomas Phillips bring their son before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
Family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and are given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Amanda and Thomas, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? Do you? Amanda and Thomas, will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Will you? Congregation, do you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and you brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon this gift of water and this child who will receive it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. With you and the Holy Spirit, you live and reign forever. Amen. What name is given this child?
Patterson
James. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you all would join, you're welcome to touch young brother and son. And we pray together this blessing. Patterson James, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may grow to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. Now I get to introduce him.
Will the congregation please rise in body or spirit and open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome and face Patterson James. Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Patterson James to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Patterson James, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, the book of James, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, the New Living Translation. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone happy? He should sing songs of thanks to God. Is anyone among you sick? He should send for the church leaders, and they should pray for him. They should pour oil on him in the name of the Lord. The prayer given in faith will heal the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Tell your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer from the heart of a man right with God has much power. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to come down and join us for Children's Moment. And if you are online, just draw a little closer to the screen. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, friends. So, I would like for you all to stop and think. Have you ever been afraid? If you have, raise your hand. Have any of you been afraid? Have you been afraid? No, you've never been afraid. All right, I hear that. Raise your hand if you have ever been happy. Have you been happy? Yeah, you've been happy. Okay, good. What about sad? Raise your hand. Anybody been sad? Have you been sad? No, okay. This is my guy right here, okay? He is courageous and happy. Here's one thing that I wondered if you knew. That regardless of how you feel, if you are happy or sad or afraid or any feelings that you might have, that you can take those feelings to God, because God loves us. God cares about how you feel. And if there's any time where you're not sure or you're scared or sad, just know that all of your feelings matter, and more importantly, they matter to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you first for these children. Reminders that we were all born with goodness as your purpose. God, we ask that you will be with these little ones as they continue to grow and feel and play and laugh and learn, and that they will know, God, that no matter how they do it, when they do it, where they do that, that you will always be with them. Amen. So if you are ages 3 through 5 in kindergarten, you're going to meet Hampton over here and also Nick at the door for Children's Moment. And if you're older than that, you can return with your family and friends. You're 3? All right, you want to go to Children's Moment? What about you, buddy? You going back with your family? All right.
With eyes closed and heads bowed, I'm going to ask that you join me in this brief prayer. Holy God, of many names and no name at all, we, your people, are gathered here today, God, expecting that we might hear a word from you about our situation, about our circumstance. And God, I ask that as your vulnerable vessel, that my limitations do not get in the way of what you have to say to your people today. God, we love you. And we're grateful that you love us more. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now, before I begin this message, am I doing something to make that reverb? I'm sorry. Before I begin this message, let me start by saying that death is a unique teacher. Friends, this was one of the many lessons that I learned this summer as a hospice chaplain intern at Alive Hospice. Another lesson I actually learned was that death is a process, and that the body, get this, knows how to die. And I also learned that death is sacred. Death as sacred was transformative for me because part of my reason for choosing hospice was to confront my own difficult relationship with death and dying. Because you see, in my world, people died suddenly and tragically. My earliest childhood memory was as a 5-year-old attending my uncle's funeral, who was shot and killed less than 1 mile from where we lived. When I was 7, my father was killed by a drunk driver in a hit-and-run accident. And this pattern of death as sudden and tragic continued into my adulthood and led to fears that I too might die tragically one day. But being in pastoral ministry requires me to be courageous in facing my own fears while companioning with others as they face theirs. And at the conclusion of my internship, as expected, I learned a great deal about providing spiritual care to dying patients and their loved ones. But what I couldn't expect was what dying patients would teach me about faith. I want to tell you a story about a patient whom I'll call John. I'd attempted a visit with John several times during his stay at Alive, but each time I entered the room, it was clear that that time was not a good time. Because every time I went to see John, his room was packed, and sometimes it was a standing room only. But one day, determined to see John, I attempted another chaplain visit, and I knocked on the door and was invited to come in. And when I entered the room, John directed me to sit in the empty chair that was probably occupied by his wife, who was sitting at the edge of his bed. During the visit, I learned that John and his wife had been married for over 40 years, and they had 2 children. I also learned that John was a musician and a guitar maker, and that the other folks present that day were some of his band members who'd become family over the years. And I was moved by the love in the room and blessed by John's deep and profound love for God. But as I listened, I couldn't help but wonder if I had the kind of faith that John had on his deathbed. And y'all, no sooner than I had that thought, I looked up and through tears, John said, "I sure hope God knows just how much I love him." Now, friends, at this I was immediately confused because as far as I could tell, John's love for God was unquestionable. But then I'm reminded of another dying man, Jesus of Nazareth, a Palestinian indigenous Jew from Northeast Africa. Jesus, a first century revolutionary and organizer for the liberation of impoverished and oppressed Jews. Jesus, who was Mary's baby. That Jesus. The scripture tells us in Mark chapter 15, verse 34, that hours before he took his last breath in Calvary, Jesus, nailed to the cross, cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,"
my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So as I prepared this message, I wondered why the scriptures tell us that Jesus, who most certainly understood that his divine assignment would end in his death, would on his deathbed question God's presence. And further, I wondered, what can we learn about our own faith through the faith of John and Jesus? Friends, might I suggest that these two dying men, we learn from them that death and pain can not only teach us, but test our faith. Now, I'm getting ready to tell y'all something that is so simple that I'm almost embarrassed to say it. But here it is, here it is. Faith is complicated. I know y'all are looking at me like, that's it, Will Warren. I know, just really, just hang in there with me. Hopefully it gets a little bit better. The NIV translation of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. But I actually like Dr. Tony Evans's definition of faith, which is acting like God is telling the truth all the time about everything. I like that. I like that. I like that. So on the one hand, faith can give us confidence to navigate this thing called life. With faith, we can be assured that God is with us, right? And y'all know the Christianese. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And if God be for me, no one can be against me. And there's another one. There's a bunch of them. Oh, yeah. God is good all the time. And all the time God is. All the time God is. I see we have some United Methodist Baptist Pentecostals here today. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But can we agree, folks, that the same faith that gives us confidence can also confuse us? I mean, my patient John had faith. He loved God, but dying caused him to question if God knew just how much he loved him. And Jesus for sure loved God. But there was something about dying on that cross that made him question why God had abandoned him. And before you start preparing the email to send to me and the whole pastoral team calling me sacrilegious, I am in no way suggesting that John and Jesus are the same. Okay, so don't worry about that. But what I will say is that there is evidence of what pain can do. And while none of us know the pain that these two dying men felt, we know something about pain, don't we? Because if you've lived any amount of time, you know pain. And if you live long enough, you learn that life doesn't always go as planned. The race is not always given to the swift. The strong don't always survive. Everybody in your circle is not in your corner. I said that too fast. Everybody in your circle is not in your corner. Bodies get sick. Bad things happen to good people. The young die young. The old get overlooked. And life, it's just not fair. And what do you do when the pains of life hurt so bad that they cause you to lose faith in the very God who gave you life? And I submit that faith is complicated because life is complicated. And since life is complicated, it requires that not only we have strong faith, but steadfast faith. The kind of mature faith that only comes when you and God have been through some things together. And it is on this notion of mature faith that we pick up the text for today's sermon. Now, the book of James is particularly instructive for us today because mature faith is precisely one of the concerns of the writer James, which is believed to be Jesus' brother. And written between 50 and 90 CE, the book is an epistle that James wrote to instruct Jewish Christians in the diaspora to be faithful hearers and doers of the word. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5 says, "When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Verse 5, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and God will give it to you. God will not rebuke you for asking." James, speaking to displaced, dispossessed, and discouraged people, encouraged them to not let what they don't understand about their circumstances obscure what they know about God. And so when we look at the pericope for today's message, I believe that James can offer some additional insights to help us mature in our faith. The first thing that I think we see is that mature faith requires praying consistently. Verses 13 through 14 says, "Are you suffering? Pray. Are you happy? Pray." In these verses, we see that mature faith happens when we talk with God about our triumphs and our troubles and everything in between. But here's a question. If someone did an audit of your prayer life, what would it reveal about your relationship with God? Is your relationship committed? Is it complicated? Is it casual? Because the problem I see is that some of us treat God like a crisis counselor that we call on when we have a need. And I believe that James is inviting you to a relationship where you consistently seek and hear from God wherever you are on life's journey. And the second thing we see is that mature faith requires you to know your part. What's my part, Wilborn? Simple. Believing and doing. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "We are God's masterpiece. God has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that God planned for us long ago." In the words of Dr. Gina Stewart, "Hear me with your good ear. God created you on purpose, for a purpose, with a purpose. And God did not create you to fail, because if you're a creator, and I am a creator, no creator creates a thing with the intention of their creation failing." I said it too fast. No creator creates a thing with the intention of their creation failing. So I submit to you today that as God's masterpiece, maturing in your faith not only requires believing what God says about you, but also doing what God tells you to do. The third thing I see is that mature faith requires you to have a panoramic perspective. Panoramic perspective is what I call faith anyhow. It's the kind of faith that I believe the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. Y'all know the story in Daniel. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, threatened to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace if they did not worship his gods. Now, in my homiletical imagination, Diane, I imagine these three Hebrew boys looking at each other and thinking, who's gonna tell Nebuchadnezzar that the gods he serves might be some of them false gods? Shad, you gonna tell him? Who gonna tell him? Are we all gonna tell him? Okay, bet you gonna tell him. Daniel chapter 3, 16 through 18 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. And here's the anyhow part that I like. But even if he doesn't, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set. Even if he doesn't, that's faith anyhow. The kind of panoramic faith that lets you know that God can, God will, and if God doesn't do it your way, it's because God has a better way. And finally, James is inviting us to see that mature faith means calling on and calling in your people. In other words, James 5, 14 through 16 reminds us that faith is communal. The ancient tradition of calling in the elders for praying and anointing of the sick speaks to the physical and spiritual healing that comes when we share in one another's burdens through prayer and intercession. Because the truth is that sometimes you need others to pray to God on your behalf when you've said all you can say, you've done all you can do, or you don't know what to say or what to do. Faith-filled folk who believe for you and with you that God is able, that God can, that God will, and even if God don't, they know without a shadow of a doubt that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who have been called according to God's purpose. Yeah, you need to make sure you have some praying and believing folk in your corner and in your circle. But can I say that there is somebody under the sound of my voice who is suffering alone in silence because of the shame that tells them they are weak because they need help or they don't deserve help or should be able to handle their situation on their own or worrying about what people might think if they really, really, really knew what was going on. But as my grandma would say, the devil is a lie and the truth ain't in him. I'm here as an ambassador of faith to silence the shame by saying this. Beloved, you were created to live life and life more abundantly. Beloved, you are not alone. We were created to be interdependent by divine design because your healing is tied to my healing. When you are well, I am well. When I am well, you are well. And when we are well, the body of Christ is edified and God is glorified. Amen.
Amen. Please rise in body or spirit and join me in professing our faith together with the affirmation of faith that is printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them out loud or not. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, we actually meet on Mondays. Please follow the link under Contact Us in our website. And for those of you that are here with us in the sanctuary, there are prayer cards right in front of you that can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed. Please take note of any of the prayer requests that are listed in your bulletins and keep those names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. We were informed this week of the death of a longtime West End member, Patricia Anderson. Pat passed away at her home in Columbia, Tennessee on July 20th. And this morning, I also want us to remember our neighbors in North Carolina and South Carolina and Georgia and Florida, for the people who still haven't heard of their loved ones. And may we also just pay attention to the ways that maybe we can stand in the gap with them as a community that has been through something similar before. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, we come here today holding both joy and grief, concern and hope, uncertainty and relief. We are incredibly grateful to bring all of our feelings and prayers to you in this time. We thank you for the times this week that we laughed and smiled, when we got to spend time with friends, meals shared, and times that we appreciated the beauty of nature. Help us to pause and notice in these moments. For the days when we experience difficulty and struggle, and for the times that we have been less than our best, we give you thanks that you do not turn away from us and that we are never alone. We pray for the church, every space where people are gathered in your name. Help us to listen to each other with open hearts and gentle truth. This morning, we lift to you our country and its leaders. We pray now for humility and change. We pray that power plays can be set aside and that wisdom and vision and collaboration can prevail. We remember this morning the individuals who are suffering from all forms of injustice, brokenness, or illness, especially the ones that we are holding close to our own hearts. Be with the families and the friends and the individuals that have been affected by Hurricane Helene. We also recognize that there are ways that nature has brought us to our knees all over the world. So help us to pay attention for the ways that we can stand in the gap when we are standing. Reassure us, O God, that you desire good for your world and all the people in it, and that your provisions are enough. Fill us with a commitment to share what comes so easily to us with those who do not have the same riches and who today are hungry. Into your hands, O Lord, we offer up our prayers, trusting in your power and your love through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And hear us as we pray with one voice the prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give by the options listed on the screen, while here in the sanctuary, we are passing the offering plates down the row. You can also use the QR code printed in the bulletin to give digitally through the website. As we all pass the plates down the row to one another, may we all remember that God multiplies our gifts in beloved community. Today, may we give with joy to God.
Beloved, let us go forth boldly, confidently, and courageously with a faith of anyhow that God can, that God will, and if God doesn't, that's because God has another way. Amen.